It's War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can find this episode of War Eagle Weekly and all previous ones on our podcast page at ESPNPensacola.com. And you can listen to ESPN Pensacola on 99.1 FM, 1330 a.m. or on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. Austin Price and Bill Clark here in the studio with you. And Bill, you're one of our sponsors, but we also want to give another shout out to Coach and Four Steakhouse. You can find them on Pine Forest Road right across the street from Five Flag Speedway. Bill, War Eagle, and good morning, sir.
War Eagle, and Happy New Year.
Yes, yes. We are officially full throttle into the new year now, and I'm feeling pretty good about it. It seems like Auburn fans have a lot to feel good about. We've been touching on transfer portal, some of this recruiting stuff going on the football side of things, of course. But Auburn basketball is cooking. We're going to touch on all of it. Of course, we'll get some college football playoff semifinals late in today's episode, like we've been following these past few weeks. But right now, we'll get started with some of this transfer portal stuff, because Auburn football's still making moves, correct?
Auburn's still digging deep into the transfer portal for the kids that the portal is still open for. Right now, they're focusing mainly on the defense, because we've already plugged the holes where we needed offensively with the two quarterback acquisitions,
right?
The two offensive lineman acquisitions and the running back that we picked up from UConn. So I think offensively, on the offensive side of the ball, we've kind of filled all the gaps and plugged all the holes there with the people that we wanted to bring in. As far as the quarterback room, you know, when they picked up Jackson Arnold, and then we picked up Brandon, and we also signed Deuce Knight, you know, the Walker White and Hank Brown saw the writing on the wall, and,
right.
And they decided the grass was greener somewhere else, and good on them. I mean, they entered the portal and got picked up at big time programs, Baylor and Iowa,
and that's what the transfer portal's for.
Exactly. So their future looks bright where they went. We were glad to have them on the Plains, but it created a hole in the quarterback room, because one of those guys was going to be essentially running the practice squad, being the scout, running the scout team.
Right.
Well, it turns out Auburn had a kid on the enrolled in the school and already on the campus that had playing time at South Carolina. And let me pull up his name here real quick. I forgot what. Oh, Bailey.
We're losing track here. So many names.
Yeah, but you know, everything I'm reading about him is Tanner Bailey. He had some starts at South Carolina. He played. He also was the scout quarterback on their squad for a year. He's familiar with the type of offense that Hugh Freeze likes to run. Mm. But being a scout quarterback, that's not so important. It's more important to be able to replicate what your opponent's going to do.
Right.
And they have evidently somebody on the campus, they talked to him, and they talked him into coming suiting back up in pads, and he still has a year of eligibility. And he understands he can compete for the starting job if he wants to.
Yeah.
I expect him to. I expect all of them to be competitive, try to win out the position. All the chatter I've been reading says that he's fairly comfortable with the idea of coming in and running the scout team. And that would free up Deuce Knight being able to have a redshirt freshman year.
Right.
Immerse himself in the playbook and the scheme that Hugh Freeze wants to run offensively, and give them the latitude to practice this practice squad up, the scout team up, and be able to prepare each week for the next game. So now we're four deep in the quarterback room. I expect they might try to pick up somebody else just to give, because you don't want to be too deep, only two quarterbacks deep for the season, because, I mean, we've seen what's happened with other teams where their starter gets injured early and then the backup gets injured midway during the season.
Right.
You got to have a third string option that's ready to go. He may not be at the level of the first and second guy, but he's got to be prepared and ready to go. And he would be obviously the number three guy if they redshirt Deuce. Otherwise, they're going to burn a redshirt. And I think that's what they're looking at. So they might be in the market for another guy to have on the squad that they can coach up and get ready to go. But we also picked up – here I am missing their names again. Auburn signed, we already had TJ Rushing on the staff.
Yeah.
They just promoted him from within to the safeties coach. He's coached before under DJ Durkin, I believe at Texas A&M. He didn't follow him over here. He came, I think he came first before Durkin came. So he's familiar with the type of defense that the defensive coordinator wants to run.
Right.
So they promoted him up to safeties coach. That's a plus, because now you've got a guy that's already been on the campus and in the program for a while. He's just moving up the ladder as far as his responsibilities on the team.
We've talked about team chemistry with some of these players that y'all have been getting, and yeah, it doesn't hurt to have team chemistry on the coaching staff as well.
Yeah, and we've picked up some good players out of the portal for the defense, especially that linebacker out of LSU. You know, he's already got SEC playing time. You know,
right.
So he's already been coached
Big
up.
Big boy experience.
Yeah, he's already been coached up, and you know, you got to get him ready to play. Mm. But I like what I'm seeing coming out of the portal. The future looks bright, and I've said this before on this program. You create big expectations, and it either leads to big satisfaction or huge disappointments.
Right.
You know, so I don't want to get my expectations too high too early, but what I'm seeing is a formula and the recipe now coming together, and then it's just a matter of how are we going to bake this cake and what is it going to look like come football season. But I like the direction it's going.
Yeah.
I hope it turns out to be like a Publix cake. Really, really good. You know?
Yeah, you're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Austin Price, Bill Clark here in the studio with you. And yeah, Bill, just sticking with this football theme here, I really do try to look at this from a glass half full perspective, and no, that's not a reference to the show last hour. When it comes to SEC football, people were saying, listen, there were no great teams, no terrific, just elite teams in the SEC last year. And some people think that this isn't just an outlier. They think this is going to become a bit more of a norm, especially now that guys like Nick Saban are out of the picture. And I think when you have that being the image surrounding the conference, you have Auburn really having nowhere to go but up after a 5-7 season and after the preventable losses that they suffered. Yeah, I think this is absolutely something to be optimistic about. I would like to think that even if Auburn doesn't do great next year, it's still going to be seen as like, okay, we made a step in the right direction. Even if it's as simple as just making a bowl game, at least there's something. And this is something that's, especially if you do it right and there's no players just coming in and out of the transfer portal like everywhere else, if you have these guys who are willing to stick around, willing to play under Freeze, willing to be developed, this is something that could take a few years, but in those few years, we could see Auburn turn into something really dominant.
Yeah, I'm hoping at least next year to see a 7-win season.
I would flip
the script from this year. And I think that's one of the reasons they recruited and brought in Jackson Arnold, because he has 2 years of eligibility. So that
right.
gives them 2 years to make this program much better, as long as he stays healthy. And, of course, the recruiting, the flipping of Deuce Knight from Notre Dame to Auburn was such a huge deal. And the ability now to redshirt him and give him 5 years of eligibility, there's no pressure on him.
Right.
All he's got to do is be a sponge for the next couple of years. Just be a sponge, learn what you need to learn, grow. He's what, 17?
Yeah.
You know, so by the time he's 19 or 20, he should be probably another 15, 20 pounds heavier, maybe a little bit faster. He's got a cannon for an arm. I mean, that's why everybody went after him.
Right.
And he's a real dual threat quarterback. So the long-term future, if he stays in the program, looks really, really good. It's just a matter of what are you going to put out there in front of him as far as O-line is concerned.
Right.
Right now I'm satisfied with what they've done, plugging the gaps with the O-line, bringing in the two tackles, the one from USC especially, because he's going to be protecting the blind side, and he's got a lot of experience doing so. So the future looks good. Like I said, I'm not getting too overly excited too early, because
can't expect perfection right away.
Yeah, it's a work in progress. We're warming up the oven. We're getting all the ingredients laid out, ready to go, and then getting ready to bake a cake. And
getting ready to go down that public route.
Yeah, if you're hungry, you can always go out to a Coach and Forest Steakhouse and have a burger and a beer.
That is true.
For
half-pound burger and a beer for $11.95.
Yep, every day before 6:30. So, and make sure if you go, even if it's not for the special, if you just go to Coach and Forest Steakhouse, make sure you mention to somebody there in your wait staff or the greeters that you heard about it here on War Eagle Weekly on ESPN.
Yeah.
It makes a difference to them. It makes a difference to us as a program.
Yeah. Yeah. It proves that they're not sponsoring us for nothing. But not only that, you may have thought that Bill was just making cake metaphors to make him to pass the time, but no, this has all been a ploy to get you headed to Coaching Four, get everybody flocking over there.
Well, the cake when it's done will be available at Coaching Four. So.
Yeah. All right, 10:13 here. We'll go to break in a couple minutes, but one of these things I wanted to touch on because you and I mentioned this, and you've been really good about this on multiple occasions. You stress that. Listen, we talk about the biggest headlines here with football, basketball, but Auburn has been very diverse with its excellence. And sometimes we even find ourselves talking about the equestrian. You know, Auburn's doing good in that. Well, we've got some news here. Auburn cheerleader, former Auburn cheerleader, Abby Stockard, she is crowned Miss America. We heard about that earlier.
Yeah, she's still enrolled at school. She was Miss Alabama and became Miss America this past week. Just a big blue and orange war eagle to Miss America.
Yeah, y'all are producing them in every sport.
And on top of that, she's dating Walker Kessler, who, you know, came to Auburn and played basketball last year and was a standout.
Wow. We got our next Livy Dunn Paul Skeens here, don't we?
I don't know. but, you know, it's just, it's exciting. It's a family thing. So for us as Auburn family and Auburn fans,
right,
we take great pride in all the things that happen nationally or even regionally around the Auburn program, that being one of them. You're talking about other sports. One of the Auburn men's golf team members won the individual stroke play in the last event he played in.
Really?
The women's basketball program is exciting to watch. They're not having quite the season I thought they were going to have.
Kind of a bit bumpy of a ride.
A little bit, but you know it is what it is. The women's basketball is a whole lot different than the men's.
Yeah. That's not a knock on the women. That just says a lot about the caliber of men's basketball we got.
Yeah, it's Auburn's finally a basketball school as well as a football school.
Yeah,
and we're kind of excelling in all kind of different areas, like you said, equestrian. We own the national title in men's golf. There's a lot of upside just to being on the campus and being part of the program.
Yeah, and now you own that crown.
Now we own Miss America. Yeah, well, I mean, we don't own it. She owns it, but she represents Auburn, and she does it well.
I was about to say, I'm sure she does it proudly. 10:15 here. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, brought to you by Coach and Forest Steakhouse and our very own Bill Clark. We'll be right back shortly, and we'll be talking about some of that elite nature of Auburn's men's basketball that we were just mentioning a couple moments ago. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Bill Clark, host of War Eagle Weekly here on ESPN Radio. Now that college football regular season has come to a close, tune into War Eagle Weekly Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. for the latest on Auburn basketball, as well as other Tiger sports-related news and analysis. My co-host, Austin Price, and I will bring you up to date on the latest Auburn basketball results and preview upcoming games. Tune into War Eagle Weekly every Thursday, 10 to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. War Eagle.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coach and Forest Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coach and Forest Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
When the power goes out, your business can't afford downtime. Generator Source in Pensacola keeps your operations running no matter the weather. From industrial generators to commercial backup systems, they offer the most trusted brands, plus expert installation and 24/7 support. Keep your factory, office, or restaurant powered, even when the grid can't deliver. Visit them online today at GeneratorSource.com and be ready. Rain or shine, Generator Source, powering Pensacola's businesses.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as a dollar a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at GetEthos.com. That's GetEthos.com.
Okay, let's talk about renovation and how it's not like your ordinary happy ending home makeover show. Example, they're the guys who prey on homeowners and never show up to do the work. So that's why the state of Florida licenses contractors. You can check if your contractor is licensed at the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation website at myfloridalicense.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
Hey, if you own or manage a business in the greater Pensacola area, how would you like to get your business in front of men ages 25 to 54? Well, that's who listens to ESPN Pensacola.
Hey!
Okay, men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah.
Excuse me?
And Jill. Whether it be a radio ad with ESPN Pensacola or online through ADX Digital, we can come up with the best solutions for you. Get in front of men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah and Jill.
Woohoo! Yeah!
Just go to our website, ESPNPensacola.com, click on the sales opportunity.
Are you ready for the ultimate sports listening experience?
Get in the game
with ESPN Pensacola, the premier sports talk radio station on 1330 AM and 99.1 FM. We're your ticket to the world of sports, delivering nonstop coverage of your favorite teams, athletes, and leagues. From the biggest headlines to the underdog stories, we bring you the thrill of the victory and the agony of defeat. So don't miss out on the action. Tune in to ESPN Pensacola and be part of the sports conversation that's taking Pensacola by storm.
Game night.
Game night.
Weeknights, 9 to midnight on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. All sports, all the time.
Welcome back to War Eagle Weekly, every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Brought to you by Coaching Forest Steakhouse. You can find them on Pine Forest Road across from Five Flag Speedway. And brought to you by Bill Clark. Speaking of which, Austin Price and Bill Clark here in the studio with you, as always. And Bill, when we left off, we were talking about the excellence of Auburn Athletics, first of all, but we narrowed it down to basketball right before break there because, you know, y'all just had a couple of decent wins over Missouri and Texas, which we're going to get to in a moment. But first, I want to touch on this just very quickly because it's big for Auburn based on how the rankings currently sit. Top-ranked Tennessee, they were unbeaten. They were the only team ahead of Auburn in the rankings, and they just got, to put it delicately, humbled by the Florida Gators, lost by 30 points. And now, I mean, Auburn's got to be bound for the top spot. There's no one here that could seemingly take it from them.
Yeah, watching that Tennessee game, that was astounding. Is it like the only thing I can come up with? Because it was never in doubt.
Yeah,
after about five
Florida
minutes,
took control early.
After about 5 minutes into the game, it was obvious that Florida came there to play, and Tennessee looked like they were back on their heels, and they just never got their footing up underneath them.
Right.
They did not play like the Tennessee team we've seen play in out-of-conference play. And I don't know if it was just the home field advantage taking it, you know, to Florida.
Right.
But, I mean, I don't know what – if that happened to Auburn, I'd be – my jaw would be on the floor. it would be something that you just could never wrap your head around. And I know a couple of Tennessee fans. I was actually watching part of the game with a Tennessee fan, and he was ready to go home. He said, I've never seen anything like this, and I don't understand what they're doing.
I've been there. All sports fans have.
It was like all their shooters, all their shooters were cold, And every time they tried to take the ball away or do something big defensively, the Florida found a way around it. And Florida was shooting, I don't have the stats in front of me, but I think they were shooting close to 50% from the field.
Really?
And Tennessee was under 30.
What was the final score? 73-43, was that it?
Yep, something exactly 30 points.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, I mean, your number one ranking is now, I mean, I don't think they should drop too far. You and I discussed this earlier. I mean, you lost to a ranked team, a top 10 team, at their place, but I do see them staying ahead of Duke, so I'm not really sure how the top 10 is going to call out on this next ballot. But it, in my opinion, it should be Auburn, Iowa State, Alabama, Tennessee, Florida, Kentucky, and then Duke. I mean, Duke's got two losses.
What's honestly what's
and Auburn's only losses to Duke, and it was at Duke. I mean, so it's a
well, and
what they call a quality loss.
That and brand is probably the only reason Duke is ranked as high as they are.
Well, that's it. Kentucky and Duke are, you know, blue bloods,
right? Florida is currently eighth. They had dropped a couple of spots. I'm assuming in response to their first loss of the season.
Yes,
but with them being 13-1 and this 30-point win over Tennessee. Yeah, I mean, top four has to be a guarantee.
Well, I mean, Florida has had good basketball programs over the last 20 years. They have a couple of national titles.
Yeah, with the in the Billy Donovan era.
Yeah, so it's not uncharted territory for them. But man, that was. I don't think anybody saw that coming. Even the Florida fans, I don't think, saw a 30-point beatdown on Tennessee.
Well, and this write-up here coming from AP News, Chaz Lanier, who played four seasons at North Florida before signing with Tennessee, so he's in his fifth season, he scored 10 points on 3 of 16 shooting for the Volunteers. That is a team that is just having an off game, out of their element.
Yeah, if he's your best shooter and one of your best offensive players, and he goes 3 for 16, it's not just him. Everybody on the team was having an off night.
It takes a team effort to lose that badly.
Yeah, one guy's not going to cost you 30 points. That 30-point loss was a product of them just not having they didn't bring their A game.
Well, and 16 shots. That, especially when you're making so little of them, that is a guy who and I remember Steve Smith Sr., the wide receiver, he said this years ago. Sometimes, you know, you may make a mistake or two early in a game and you realize it's going to be one of those days. And you can't bounce back from it. It's just going to be an off night because it gets in your head early and you're done. And that is – it sounds like that's what happened to him. He was desperate. Lanier was desperate to make shots fall, and they just weren't falling. I mean, it's as simple as that. That's how – as we just said, that's how you get a 30-point game. But congrats to Florida. Congrats to the Gators. They're a darn good team.
You know, with Tennessee, you get behind early. Now you're back on your heels, and you're taking lower percentage shots, which – in this case, produced lower percentage results.
And the Gainesville crowd's just going ballistic every
step
of
the way.
Yeah,
there's a big home field advantage in basketball is just as important as it is in football.
Right. It's
more intimate because everybody's in a tighter space.
It's a tighter space, enclosed. Yeah, so it's – ooh, man, it's going to be deafening. And the SEC, man, swiftly becoming a basketball conference, so it's going to be getting all the chippier in some of those stadiums, some of those arenas. All righty. We got off on a tangent. Back to Auburn basketball. But first of all, speaking of Auburn, you're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Austin Price, Bill Clark in here with you. And, Bill, we got a couple of wins for Auburn since we last spoke, the first of which, 84-68 over Missouri. That's a big one.
Yeah, and Missouri, you and I talked about it last week, Missouri has an aggressive defense, and they did. They showed up defensively.
Right.
They just weren't able to produce on the offensive side. Auburn, on the other hand, was clicking on all cylinders. From the beginning, Auburn looked good. They were playing together as a team. My stat sheet, I have 9 players with double-digit minutes on the floor.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they were rotating players.
Everybody's having fun.
Everybody was participating. Janiah Broom came up 3 rebounds short of another double-double, but he scored 24 points. He had 3 blocks and 2 assists. I mean, his production in the rebounds fell off just a little bit, and I don't know I don't know that that was anything he could have done different because he was playing great.
Right.
But the rest of his game elevated a little bit. And then everybody else picked up where he would have normally had a 10-rebound game. You had Miles Kennedy with 5, and you had Chaney Johnson with 7 rebounds.
Yeah.
I mean, that's – you're taking possessions away, and you're turning them into offensive possessions. Everybody on the everybody that had double-digit time on the floor all had at least one assist. And what was cool, and this is kind of a little side thing, was at the end of the game, which you and I have talked about before, with Bruce Pearl with a couple minutes left to go, if the game's under control, he gets the practice squad out there.
Yeah.
The walk-ons.
Let's them get some time.
Yeah. One of the walk-ons, Presley Patterson, had 1 minute on the floor and 2 points.
He did something.
For him, that's a big deal.
Yeah, to get that opportunity.
And when he made that 2 points, the first thing I looked at was the bench and Dylan Cardwell, Janiah Broom, Chad Baker-Mazzaro, and Pettiford were his biggest cheerleaders.
Really?
They were jumping up and down. I mean, it's exciting to them to watch the guys that they beat up on in practice, you know, preparing for the big game, get a chance to go out there on the floor in front of their home crowd and contribute to the score, you know? That's one of the things I love, not only just about this team, but that's what I really, really love about Bruce Pearl is he – if the opportunity's there, he's going to let these kids get a chance to go out there and be a part of the program.
A player's coach.
Yeah, but, I mean, this was exactly what you and I expected. It was double-digit win. Mm-hmm. Auburn was firing on all cylinders. Missouri's defense was good, but their offense just wasn't quite good enough to go against Auburn's defense.
Auburn beat them on all offensive fronts. Field goal percentage, three-point percentage, free throw percentage, you name it.
Oh yeah, it was not in doubt. It was a pretty close game. I think like the first 6 minutes of the game, but it was really not in doubt. I mean, here we are. Auburn was 57% field goal percentage, 47% 3-point. Free throws were 75%, and a large bit of that goes to Chad Baker-Mazzaro, who was still, you know, on that free throw. Consecutive free throw streak in this game.
Yeah, 5 for 5.
Yeah. This is the big one, though. Defensive rebounds. Auburn had 23 defensive rebounds. That's 23 possession changes. If you think of it in, like, football terms, that's like every time the other team gets the ball, you either intercept it or cause a fumble and get the ball.
Yeah.
You know, you flip.
Not giving them an inch.
Yeah. Don't give them anything. 9 blocks.
Three of those. Missouri's 1.
Yeah. Yeah, 9 blocks. 3 of those were Janiah Brooms. Still a little high on the personal fouls. I mean, it was 21. It was better than some of the other games we've had, but they're still improving on that.
Right.
It was pretty well matched as far as personal fouls. It was 20 for Missouri and 21 for Auburn. So both teams got in the bonus and got to the line pretty much about the same percentage.
Yeah, y'all
Auburn,
lost.
Auburn did so much better from the line because of Chad Baker-Mazzaro. They were
right.
They were fouling him, and he's the wrong guy on our team to go foul.
Yeah, it seems like he's the last one to foul. I will say I did notice the fouls, and I was quick to highlight it, and it's the same thing with turnovers. Y'all had 16, but so did Missouri. And that just – I just heard my voice from last week. This was a game we knew was going to have aggressive defenses both sides of the ball, and what does that equate to, Bill? That equates
turnovers.
To fouls and turnovers. Yeah. So I didn't think much of it. I'm not going to hold it against Auburn for that, especially with how Mizzou performed to that exact same level.
Yeah, those stats prove out that both teams had aggressive, effective aggressive defenses.
Well, one of their offenses stunk. And that's what gets you almost a 20-point game. All right, we'll touch very quickly on Texas in the what ended up ultimately being a narrow win, at least on paper. But don't worry, it's not as bad as you think. But if you want details on that, stick around because you're listening to War Eagle Weekly, and we got to take a break. You can listen to us every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, brought to you by Bill Clark, who is my co-host here, and Coachin' Four Steakhouse.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coachin' Four Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated 3-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Cochin Forest Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
Hi, I'm Bill Clark, host of War Eagle Weekly here on ESPN Radio. Now that college football regular season has come to a close, tune into War Eagle Weekly Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. for the latest on Auburn basketball, as well as other Tiger sports-related news and analysis. My co-host, Austin Price, and I will bring you up to date on the latest Auburn basketball results and preview upcoming games. Tune into War Eagle Weekly every Thursday, 10 to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. War Eagle.
The new year is here. Time for change. Start a recession-resistant new career in the high-demand fields of IT, cybersecurity, and AI with My Computer Career in just months. Already in IT? Build your cybersecurity skills and prep for thousands of open positions employers nationwide are desperate to fill. Attend classes live online or on campus. Make this your year. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. That's mycomputercareer.edu. Financial aid is available to those who qualify, including the GI Bill.
Robinhood Gold members can now enjoy the VIP treatment, receiving a 3% IRA match on annual retirement contributions. With Robinhood Gold, the perks of the high net worth are now available for any net worth. The new gold standard is here with Robinhood Gold. To receive a 3% boost on annual IRA contributions, sign up at Robinhood.com/gold.
Investing involves risk. 3% match requires Robinhood Gold at $5 a month for 1 year from first match. Must keep funds in IRA for 5 years. Go to Robinhood.com/boost. Robinhood Financial LLC member SIPC. Gold membership is offered by Robinhood Gold LLC.
Get ready for the most adorable race of the year. The Ice Flyers present Wiener Dog Race Night, January 18th at 7 p.m. Watch these speedy little dachshunds dash across the ice in an unforgettable night of family fun. Want your wiener dog to be a racing champion? Sign up now at iceflyers.com. Don't miss this unique night of hockey and hilarious wiener dog racing. Get your tickets at the box office or Ticketmaster.com. Ice Flyers Wiener Dog Race Night, January 18th at 7 p.m.
Culver's knows that everyone appreciates a fresh meal that comes from the heart. Culver's Butterburger begins as fresh, never frozen beef, seared to perfection, then topped with real Wisconsin cheese and a lightly buttered toasted bun. It's a whole lot more than a burger. It's a taste of home. And now featuring cod sandwiches and dinners. Visit Culver's today. Mobile Highway, Bayou Boulevard, and Highway 90 in Milton. Third-party delivery is available with DoorDash and Uber Eats, and curbside service is now available. Culver's, welcome to delicious.
This is your official station for the best in college basketball, ESPN Pensacola.
You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can find this episode of War Eagle Weekly, all previous ones, on our local podcast page at ESPNPensacola.com. You can also listen to us on 99.1 FM, 1330 a.m., or on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. Austin Price and Bill Clark here in the studio with you. Bill being one of our lovely sponsors, the other being Cochin Forest Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across from Five Flags Speedway. Bill, when we left off, we were talking about some of these games that Auburn has played since we last spoke last week. So we talked about the big win over Missouri and won by about, I think it was, if I'm doing my math right here, 16 points. Texas, you were beating up on them too, and they were another team that were like, okay, they're good, they're not great. Ended up only winning by 5, but while on surface level, that seems to be a bit of a narrow win. Once you really kind of start peeling it back and look at how these teams played, it was a tale of two very different programs.
Absolutely, and not to take anything away from Texas.
They're good.
They were 11-3 going into the game.
Right.
So they're not a bad program. They're a conference opponent, and we were at Austin.
Yes.
So they had the home field advantage, the crowd advantage.
We've been talking about how important that is.
Yep. Auburn showed up, and Auburn played their regular game. They didn't back off statistically in any one particular area. They didn't jump out way unbelievably ahead of themselves in any other particular area. They played solid basketball. Defense.
Right.
The defense looked really good. The offense looked like the offense that we've seen the last 5 weeks out of Auburn. The Longhorns, they had a pretty good defense. I mean, they were giving Auburn a tough time for a little bit there.
Yeah.
Especially on shooting outside the three-point line. They were crowding up into the ball handler to keep him from having an opportunity to hit a three-pointer, making Auburn try to make a move into the paint and toward the basket.
Yeah, make you fight for your point.
Which is what you're supposed to do with a team that's got size and speed both. I thought their defense looked really good. The big thing for the Longhorns was Arthur Kaluma. He had 34 points, 8 rebounds, and 2 assists. And he was draining just about every look he had at the basket. He was making points. Right. I mean, you look at what they scored 82 points. He had 34 of them. So he's well over a third of their offense by himself. If you cover him a little better, or he has a – I mean, I don't think he had an average night. I think he just – he was having an above-average night.
Yeah, he was on his game.
Yeah, but I think if he was had an average night for him, looking back at his statistics for a couple games before this one, he was right in that 20-point range. He was in double digits, but it wasn't 34.
Right.
But, I mean, if he doesn't have a stellar night like he did, then the point difference would have been much greater. And at one point, Auburn was 21 points ahead at two different occasions with about 8 minutes left to go in the game. So we let them go on a 7-0 run with like 5 minutes to go in the game and really tighten it up, turn it into a single-digit game. It was never a one-possession game, but it was in the single digits. And then we started trading 2-for-2 or 3-for-3 until all the way to the end.
Yeah.
The big thing is it was Bruce Pearl's 214th win, so he's the winningest coach now in Auburn history. Janiah Broom had a double-double.
Surprise.
We had 9 players that were in double-digit points. You know, Auburn, it was
– You mean double-digit minutes?
No, double-digit points.
9 players had double-digit points?
Yeah, Tahad Pettiford, Miles Kelly, Denver Jones, Chad Baker Mazzaro, Johnny Broom. I'm sorry, that's what is that, 6?
Okay, I was about to say 9 players? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, what I'm looking at is 9 players with double-digit minutes on the floor.
Oh, okay, gotcha, gotcha.
Kind of the same carbon copy of what we looked at with the Missouri game. You know, just a lot of players getting out there, and they were spreading the ball around. It was a great team effort.
Same formula, works the same every time. That consistency
absolutely.
Is what makes you a contender.
Pettiford was on fire with his shot making. He had several three-pointers that were way out that caught everybody by surprise, you know. And you and I had talked about this before we came back to this segment. Miles Kelly had a fantastic game.
Right.
18 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 steal or 2 steals.
One or two.
One of them was knocked the ball away, and now you've got the ball all by yourself on your offensive side of the basket. You know, turn it into 2 points real quick. It was an exciting game. Auburn was leading 39-27 at the half. Final score 87-82. It really wasn't as close as the ending score indicates.
Right.
But Texas did try to make a game of it late.
Yeah, they had a late surge. And as you said, you're in Austin. You still finished ahead in most statistical categories. Bruce Pearl, with that record-breaking win, we'll take a single-digit margin. Who cares? We were talking about some impact players. Obviously, there were several. There typically is when it comes to Auburn this season. Janiah Broom, of course, 36 minutes played, and that double-double, 20 points, 12 rebounds. Also had 2 steals, 3 blocks, so just – of course, firing offensively and defensively. But we had mentioned this guy during the break as well, Ja'Kai Howard. He's a freshman role player, only saw 10 minutes. I think that's the least game time he's gotten in a little bit. But he still got you 6 points, which is especially pivotal in a 5-point final. He shot 3-for-4 from the field, and he gave you a rebound and a steal. I mean, this guy, we were talking about how much it means to get opportunities in just little time and seeing what you can do with it and having the opportunity to do that in the first place. That alone is what matters. And Howard did a lot, clearly a game-changing performance in such little time on a deep team. Says a lot about his potential. Assuming he doesn't hop into a transfer portal or anything, I'd love to see how this guy continues to blossom for Auburn.
Well, he was a highly recruited kid out of high school, and Auburn picked him up. And I remember watching a practice before the season began where, of course, it's Auburn hype film, so they're going to show all the really cool stuff that happened during practice.
Excite you.
And he went over the top of the coach and another player to dunk the ball. And that's when everybody realized, hey, this kid's for real.
His athleticism. You know,
he's got leaping ability, and he understands how Bruce Pearl wants him to attack the rim. And he's good at it. I mean, in the time that he played on the court, he was productive. He was a team player. He brought something to the program, and he's being productive as a freshman, which is all you can ask. Again, we've talked about it before in previous programs. Auburn arguably has the best guy in the NCAA men's basketball on the court, Janai Broome. He had that one game where he was injured and only was on the court 2 minutes, had 2 points. But outside of that,
all bets
he almost always is going to have a double-double.
Yes.
He's a defensive monster. Him and Dylan Cardwell work so well together, offensively and defensively. They're both always there. They're blocking shots. They're stealing the ball. He's getting tons of rebounds. But the thing that I like was looking at an ESPN post. ESPN says Johnny Broome is the first SEC player on pace to average 15 points per game, 10 rebounds, and 2 blocks per game since Shaq did it in 1991 and 92. I mean, it's been, what's that, 30 years?
Yeah. 33, 34.
Yeah, since we've seen this type of player on the court for an SEC team. So he's a phenom. I don't really know how you put it into words. It's so fun to watch him play. And we have the team around him to not only elevate his play, but he elevates everybody else.
Right.
And then Dylan Cardwell, I've said this before, he's the cheerleader. He's the guy you see out there waving his arms, getting the crowd involved.
And setting up the screens and stuff.
Yeah, between those two, it's watching the way they feed off of each other and the way they feed into the crowd and the way they elevate the rest of the basketball team. It's nice to see that Auburn's a basketball school.
Yeah, they got some Twin Towers action.
Yeah,
you're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Austin Price and Bill Clark here in the studio with you. And yeah, Bill, I mean, you obviously people don't love it when they bring up guys like Janai Broome, current developing college talent, and they compare him to NBA Hall of Famers. And I get that, but the stats don't lie. He's nonetheless in that elite of company, at least in this regard. And if he is, don't want to think too much ahead here, but if he is anything like Shaq and he does keep going at his current pace and he ends up having a decorated NBA career, just think about how dominant of a player Shaq was, especially in the 90s and early 2000s during that three-peat with the Lakers. If Janai can capture any rhythm just half as good as that, he's going to be something real special in the league.
Yeah, he could, for Auburn, he could be the next Charles Barkley as far as his personality and what he stands for representing the school.
That's definitely his school comparison.
In 20 years from now, you know, people look at Charles Barkley and all they see is this big round mound of rebound, you know. People that aren't fans of Charles Barkley or don't know that much about him before he became an NBA player, you know, all they know is what they see in his commentary and his participation in the discussions.
Jokes.
Yeah. But he was a marquee player for Auburn when Auburn didn't have a basketball program.
Yeah.
You know, he was the standout player. And of course he has arguably a Hall of Fame career in the NBA. Janai Broome has the potential to do that and more. And I think that's hugely important for him. And just as important for the fan base at Auburn to say, this is a product of what our fantastic coach is able to do with our program that was never at this level before.
Yeah, revitalizing or it seems like improving a pretty stellar culture. And I'm hoping that we're going to see that continue with some of these games that we got coming up. Two games are played between now and next Thursday. Starting with at South Carolina, I'm just going to give you my brief analysis of this. South Carolina, they're at home, and that's great for them. But that's about all that favors them. Their resume, very limited. They've got some hideous losses. Their best win is at home in overtime by 3 over Clemson, who's decent. Auburn blows South Carolina's season totals out of the water on both sides of the ball. And honestly, South Carolina is coming off of ranked opponents in Mississippi State and Alabama. If I'm doing some quick math here, South Carolina lost those games by a combined 55 points. Auburn's even better than Mississippi State and Alabama. So this is not going to be a very ideal game for the Gamecocks, I assume.
Yeah, the big thing with this game as far as Auburn is concerned is don't look past them to the next game.
That is true.
Prepare for South Carolina. It's a home game for South Carolina, so the fan base is going to be theirs. Bring your game, the game that you've brought for the last 5 games. Bring that defense, bring that offense, bring that teamwork. Play for each other, play for the win. And like you say, statistically, it should be easily a double-digit win, maybe by as much as 25, 27 points.
I think so, easily.
Barring something unusual happening.
Barring a late surge.
Yes. we were saying that a little bit about Texas, even though we knew Texas was going to be a closer game than that. I think you and I both had it in the teens, low teens.
I think I had it being a 88-66. I think I had it being a 22-point game. So, and I think that would have been about where we were if it were not for that Arthur
that
kid
late, yeah.
going
and
off.
The late like surge and the Arthur Kaluma.
Right.
Auburn doesn't need to look past this game. They need to focus just on this game until this game is over. And then, obviously, the next game after that, Mississippi State, is against a ranked team, but it's at home.
Yep. And we just now talked about how Mississippi State, at least as far as skill set, appears to be a larger threat than the Gamecocks with that 35-point win. I got to tell you, and I'm not trying to overlook them because, as you said, you can't afford to overlook teams, especially with how good the SEC is right now. But, Bill, I'm looking at their resume. They've also got wins over good teams, Pittsburgh, Memphis. But they've also got single-digit wins over Prairie View, A&M, and McNeese State. They got a double-digit loss to Butler. This is a team that's far too flighty. I talked about the importance of Auburn's consistency. Mississippi State is the exact opposite of consistency. And I think especially going to Auburn, that's going to cost them here.
Yeah, I haven't looked that deeply into South Carolina's games for the entire season, but it does seem like they're cyclic. They'll have one game where they have
them and the Bulldogs,
they have a good performance, and then the next game it's like this, it's a whole different team that shows up statistically. So
right.
I'm not exactly sure how that's going to play out, but I think Auburn should win by somewhere, like I said, somewhere around 22 to 27 points.
And you have you have the same for Mississippi State, or you think it's going to be a bit more narrow?
Oh no, that's going to be a lot closer game.
A lot closer, huh?
Yeah, Mississippi State is a much better program. They're ranked. They're ranked for a reason. They're consistent. I don't think they have the defense. If they had a defense like Missouri had, we would be talking about a much more even matchup. I think their weakness is their defense. But
well,
they have some shooters.
The Bulldogs actually seem to excel in rebounds and steals.
Yeah, but as far as the blocking the shots and the opponent has a higher shooting percentage.
Yeah, you're right. Offense could be limited, and just like Missouri had one block against Auburn. If blocks ends up costing the Bulldogs here, if that ends up being a prime defensive mismatch, yeah, we're probably going to see Auburn just run away with it like they have with everybody else.
Yeah, I see Auburn having at least 5 or 6 blocks as a team because these guys, they're bread and butter on their offense is taking it to the rim. It's not three-pointers. It's not shots, field goals from the edge or the corners.
Right.
They attack the basket, and that's where Auburn's defense excels. Mm. We prevent you from having a lane to the basket, force you to pass it to a guy that's a lower percentage shooter, and put him in a lower percentage shot.
Yeah, that poor son of a gun's got to take the shot.
To me, that's going to be what shapes the outcome of this game. Auburn's defense against their offense. I don't think it's matched up well the other way around. Auburn's offense against their defense. I think Auburn easily is outmatches them.
Yeah, and well, in Mississippi State, they've got a tough gig because they got to take on the Tigers on the road, and that game's bookended by Kentucky and their rival Ole Miss, both of which are ranked. So, yeah, Mississippi State's probably going to have a pretty tough go of it as well. And I was talking about the toughness of the SEC. No one's going to feel that like the Bulldogs are over the course of these next few games. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, brought to you by Coaching Forest Steakhouse. And the main voice you've been hearing every single week, our very own Bill Clark.
Hi, I'm Bill Clark, host of War Eagle Weekly here on ESPN Radio. Now that college football regular season has come to a close, tune into War Eagle Weekly Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. for the latest on Auburn basketball, as well as other Tiger sports-related news and analysis. My co-host, Austin Price, and I will bring you up to date on the latest Auburn basketball results and preview upcoming games. Tune into War Eagle Weekly every Thursday, 10 to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. War Eagle.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coaching Forest Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coaching Forest Steakhouse on Pine Forest Street from the Speedway.
Hey, fans! Welcome back to Fansville's Cheers and Tears. Oh. Okay, so like everybody deals with losing, right? To a rival on a last-second field goal. Whatever, it's fine. I'm totally fine. But I cope with losing with an ice-cold Dr. Pepper. Those 23 flavors are like so delicious. They totally wash away the pain of your college football team taking a big fat L. College football. It's a pepper thing.
Jimmy, the Mercedes is making a strange noise.
Mr. Fix-It!
Did you just tell me to fix it?
No, I said take it to Mr. Fix-It Auto Clinic. They specialize in all the luxury imports and domestic cars. They've got the latest technologies and the equipment to fix our car. And they have the lowest prices in town.
They're on North Palafox, right?
4701 North Palafox in Pensacola, just north of the Pace Palafox split.
With fully certified technicians and a nationwide warranty on parts and labor, it's Mr. Fix-It Auto Clinic, where one call does it all. 850-741-4274.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Whoa, it's you, the Capital One Bank guy.
That's what they call me.
Mind if I get a selfie?
Yeah, sure thing. Say no fees or minimums on your
Capital One
checking account.
Wow, that's a keeper. So, where are you heading?
I'm off to spread the good news that Capital One helps people keep more money in their wallet with no overdraft fees.
Oh, you're the best Capital One Bank guy.
Hey, mind if I get a selfie?
Sure.
Say, Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
Hey, if you own or manage a business in the greater Pensacola area, how would you like to get your business in front of men ages 25 to 54? Well, that's who listens to ESPN Pensacola.
Hey!
Okay, men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah.
Excuse me?
And Jill. Whether it be a radio ad with ESPN Pensacola or online through ADX Digital, we can come up with the best solutions for you. Get in front of men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah and Jill.
Woohoo! Yeah!
Just go to our website, ESPNPensacola.com, click on the sales opportunity. Amber and Ian, weeknights at 6, right after the Paul Feinbaum Show on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
Listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, brought to you by Coaching Forest Steakhouse and our very own Bill Clark. Speaking of Bill, Austin Price, Bill Clark here in the studio with you as always. Bill, thank you for not only doing the show with me, but also sponsoring it. All right, already 10:56 here. Awkward transitions aside, we've got a couple of score predictions that we want to touch on very quickly here, starting with the college football playoff semifinals. They get started this evening. Notre Dame and Penn State in the Orange Bowl. You and I were talking about this right as we were coming in from break. We've both got Penn State winning this game.
Absolutely. I think Penn State is playing at a much higher level than they have been in the past. And Notre Dame's playing well, but I just – what I see out of that Penn State football program this year, I think they're a better team, especially in a neutral environment in South Florida. I mean, if it was at Notre Dame, I might look at it a little differently. Penn State's both fan bases travel pretty well, but I see Penn State something about them this year. They're just it's like a destiny team.
Yeah, neither team has done a ton in the bracket that's really wowed me. But I think Penn State has proven an adaptability in both offensive and defensive settings, and I think that's going to shine. So I've got to be in like 27-21, not exceptionally low scoring, but I've got to be in lower scoring than the other game, which is supposed to get underway tomorrow, the Cotton Bowl, Texas and Ohio State. I've got Ohio State running away 41-30. It's going to be a high-scoring game, but Ohio State's just going to be visibly the better team. They've been phenomenal.
That game, the way I'm approaching that game, I would like to see Texas win the game just because they're an SEC team and their first year in the conference. You know, it's a
good story.
It would be a great story as far as coming into the conference and bringing another national title to the conference. But that being said, Ohio State, the last two games, they've gotten off to three-score margins early in the game. Like
booming starts.
I think both of them were ahead by three scores before the first quarter ended. Against Tennessee and
Oregon.
Against Oregon, which Oregon, that was a huge surprise because I really thought Oregon was a much better team. And I just don't know if they weren't ready or if Ohio State was just that much better. But in this game, if the Longhorns defense can keep Ohio State from jumping out to a big lead early, keep it close, you may not be ahead. You know, Ohio State may get the early lead, but if you can keep it within one score before the midway through the second quarter, then I see Texas being able to outlast Ohio State in the long run. Wow. I think Texas has a better team to go the whole four quarters and not jump out to an opening lead.
Well, let me ask you this, Bill, very quickly here. I got Auburn beating South Carolina by 35 and beating Mississippi State by 15. You agree with that?
I like both of those.
You're like, I'm hearing double-digit wins. That's enough for me. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Sending it over to Rich Eisen. We'll see you next Thursday. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. All sports, all the time. WEBY, Milton, Pensacola.